Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us an invitation, a holy call. The call is to follow him. But in order to follow him, first, we must take up our cross. Luke 14:27 says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." This is a bold and shocking statement. Jesus is not mincing words. It's the ultimate challenge. Lay down everything. Pick up your cross. The call is to follow him, but in order to follow him, we must take up our cross. In the days of Jesus, the cross was not just a religious symbol. It was an instrument of capital punishment, an instrument of torture and death. It would be similar to Jesus saying today that if anyone wanted to be his disciple, let him get out of his lazy boy recliner and go sit down in his own personal electric chair. Then you can be my disciple. It's shocking language, and it's meant to be shocking. It's meant to be that way. Jesus is teaching us that to be his disciple, it has a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus, and the cost is the cross. The cross is not just a burden that we carry. It's a path that we take. It's how we choose to live our lives. Jesus took the path of the cross in his life, and he challenges us to follow in his footsteps. It's not an easy path. It's a difficult path. But it is a path that leads to three things. It leads to suffering, leads to death, but most important of all, it ultimately leads to eternal life. Let's start with number one. The cross is the path to suffering. Now, Jesus suffered on the cross. John 19:17 talks about how Jesus took his cross up. He went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. We are following in the footsteps of Jesus, and of course his path included great suffering. No one has ever suffered the same way Jesus has suffered. The prophet Isaiah described it in such great detail. Isaiah 53:3-6 says, "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Notice what that says. Jesus was despised and rejected by other people. He was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. He was smitten, stricken, and afflicted, not just by people, but by God himself. Indeed, on the cross, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. On the cross, Jesus was punished for every sin you and I have ever committed and ever will commit. And not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's the truth of the cross. Jesus suffered on the cross, and if we are following in his footsteps, which we are, we must understand that life, our path will include suffering as well. Paul reminds the Philippians, "It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Philippians 1:29. Suffering was a part of being a Christian. It is part of our path as disciples. Paul puts it in a positive light. He says, "It has been granted to them to suffer for Christ." Jesus also warned us about the suffering the world would inflict on his church. John 15:20 says, "Remember the word I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well." Jesus could not be any more clear about that. No servant is above the master. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate us as well. We may well, because of our devotion to Jesus, lose possessions or success. May even cost us relationships, even relationships with close family members who may reject us because of our belief in the gospel. That's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson today, Luke 14. Jesus shares some words that may have gotten your attention. He talks about hating our father and mother and hating our wife and children. It's important to understand what he means by that. He's not talking about actively despising and disliking the members of your family. That would go against the entire second table of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself, and specifically directly against the fourth commandment to honor your father and mother, and the sixth commandment to love your spouse. Jesus is talking about priorities, about putting first things first, of obeying the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. God is the only one who belongs in first place in our life. If we put anything ahead of our relationship with Jesus, that is idolatry. Even good things like, say, NFL football. This is the time of the year when the NFL kicks off. Andy Williams called it the most wonderful time of the year. As of today, the Bears are still tied for first place, and that makes me happy. I can like and enjoy football, and I'm free to do that. But if I put it ahead of my relationship with Jesus, then I'm no longer enjoying the Bears, I'm worshiping the Bears. In the same way, I can love and enjoy my friends and my family, and I should. I should love my friends. I should love my family. In fact, Jesus even wants me to love my enemies. But if I put any one of those people ahead of my relationship with Jesus, I'm no longer loving them. I'm worshiping them. And that is idolatry. What Jesus says is that he should be first in our lives. And when Jesus is first in our lives, we may have friends and family who may choose to part company with us. Not by our choice, but by their choice. They may even despise and hate us for Jesus' sake. They may refuse and quit. They may refuse to even talk to us. That's a loss we may have to bear. But we must continue to put Jesus first. We must continue to follow Jesus. And that may mean taking up our cross. Jesus' words are very clear. If we follow him, there will be a cross and there will be suffering. Now you might be thinking, hey, Pastor, I don't like suffering. Maybe I'll choose a different path. Well, good luck trying to find one without suffering. Maybe I'll choose the path of worldly success. You can, but the path of worldly success will bring suffering. Maybe you'll choose the path of worldly pleasures, but that path also brings suffering. Choosing either of these paths leads to suffering as well. Suffering is a non-negotiable in life. Whatever path we choose, there will be suffering. Everyone suffers. If you follow the path of success, you will suffer. If you follow the path of pleasure, you will suffer. But only the path of the cross assures us that when we suffer, we have someone, Jesus Christ, who is right there, right alongside of us, who is helping us, healing us, and encouraging us through his word. Only the path of the cross assures us that after our suffering is over, we will enter into a place where there is no more suffering, the joy of eternal life in heaven with Jesus. The cross, the path of the cross leads to suffering. It also leads, number two, to death. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Jesus not only suffered on the cross, he also died on the cross. Crucifixion, of course, was the worst way of death that the Roman Empire could think of. It was for the worst of the worst, the lowest forms of criminal life. It was the electric chair of its time. It is the type of death that Jesus chose for himself. He humbled himself and became appointed obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus did die on the cross, but his death was not in vain. His death paid the price for sin so that you and I might one day have everlasting life. He did not die the death of a helpless victim. He died as the greatest hero in history, giving up his life so that we might be saved. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. Jesus calls us to follow him, and that means taking up our cross. And that means we too will have to die. It might be physical death. We might, for the sake of Christ, give up our physical lives. Again, that is what Jesus is talking about by a person hating his own life, right? Being willing to die for the sake of Christ. That's what Paul did. He gave up his life. He was beheaded. Peter gave up his life for Jesus. He was crucified upside down. Many people today, in countries in which Christianity is illegal, are jailed, persecuted, and even killed for the sake of Jesus. It could happen to us. It might not. We're not in charge of those things. But all of us, each one of us, is called to be crucified with Christ. To be crucified with Christ means to die to our old self. You know, the part of you that wants to be selfish and self-absorbed and self-centered. Jesus wants to crucify and kill that part of us, and he does that in baptism. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life." Jesus crucifies the old self so that we can live a new life, living according to the new nature given to us in baptism, a life full of love, a life full of peace, a life full of joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. To take up our cross means to have that, to leave that old sinful selfish nature behind and walk as new people, followers of Jesus Christ. See, the path of the cross will lead to suffering. The path of the cross will lead to death, but that's not our final destination. No, the final destination is eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Jesus suffered on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, but he did not stay dead. As Acts 2:24 tells us, death could not hold him. I quoted 1 Peter 3:18 a little bit earlier, but I didn't tell you the whole thing. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You see, the cross was not Jesus' ultimate destination. It was simply the path he took to get to that ultimate destination, eternal life in heaven with us. He wanted to give to us the gift of everlasting life, and the cross was the only way to accomplish it. Now, that's the way it always works. First the cross, then the glory. First Good Friday, then Easter. First the cross, then the empty tomb. The ultimate destination of Jesus was not the cross, but heaven. And the cross was the only path he could use that would get us there as well. When Jesus invites us onto the path of the cross is not our ultimate destination either. No, our ultimate destination is eternal life with Jesus in heaven. And that's where Jesus wants us to focus. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Romans 6, verse 8. "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." That is how it always works. First the cross, then the empty tomb. First Good Friday, and then Easter. First the cross, and then the glory. The glory in heaven that never ends. The eternal life that is the free gift of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus.